You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I am very clear-eyed about the history here. I'm far from optimistic in any Pollyannish way. And let me be very blunt. It's put up or shut up time for Republicans because they have a job. It's United States Senator. And if they fail to do their job and vote on common sense solutions, then they ought to be out of a job. And ultimately, gun violence prevention is going to be on the ballot this November.
That is a direct threat from Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, and of course it follows the Uvalde massacre. This is June 1, 2022. We are live streaming right now as I speak at rumble.com. When we're on the air live, you can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to our page. Find the live location, punch it, you're joining us. I strongly urge you to subscribe. It's for free, and we'll send it to you every day. You can also subscribe to every podcast, because once we air the program, we put them up as a podcast. So in case you missed one, or you want to share with others, which I encourage you to always share, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. So here's Senator Richard Blumenthal on MSNBC saying that this time, because of the Uvalde shooting, this time it really does feel different than all the previous shootings. He said, I've heard for the last three, 4 days, I watched the Memorial Day ceremonies. We've never before have had five Republicans and five Democrats coming together to talk about this. This is how America has reacted, how shaken my colleagues are. They're all discussing some kind of gun legislation. Additional gun control, tightening some loopholes. A lot of it's yet to be sorted out, battled out. And, of course, the left is pretty sure that nothing's really going to come up, because that's why we're going to take the polls and make it an issue. We're going to run on the campaign. Let me put it to you this way. They're going to run on the coffins of children to say, forget everything Biden has done regarding inflation, how the economy is a total wreck. Don't think about that. Think about the children. But more importantly, think about me and vote for me. I'm sorry, friends. That's exactly what they're doing. I've told you I'm not for full, open gun laws without any restrictions. I'm not for that. I'm also not for onerous restrictions or taking away all guns and destroying the Second Amendment, which the other side wants to do. I've got a guest coming up you want to hear later today. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. Here's what he says. There's not going to be any gun compromise. There will be GOP surrender. You agree with that statement? You'll hear from John coming up a little bit later. And you're also going to hear about an unbelievable law proposal in California about their schools and calling police to their schools if there seems to be a threat of any type. We're not talking about just calling police because some kid's acting up in class. We're talking about a threat, a real threat. You're going to hear when we begin the next segment, a state senator who is a Democrat in California, no surprise there, but she is against this. You're going to hear why and how she compares it to what happened with the shooter at Parkland. And, of course, still trying to sort out details of what happened in Uvalde. The funerals are underway. CNN tried to get a comment from the Uvalde police chief. He ducked and dodged, wouldn't really answer, just kind of gently, quietly moving past and being polite every step of the way. They got pictures of him out shaking hands with some of his officers and congratulating them or whatever, and then going on. So we've got a lot to cover. We're going to be dealing with Uvalde. We're going to be dealing with protecting our schools, which, by the way, the Biden administration, the White House, is saying Biden's more concerned, obviously, more about gun control than hardening schools. $40 billion to Ukraine. How much going to our schools to harden them? And we're also going to get into the success of Top Gun. And then this, my U.S. Marines, your U.S. Marines, they are doing something that, hell no, this should not be done. But it has been done. I'm really angry over it. You'll hear about it before we wrap up today. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, I rise in strong opposition to this bill. As a parent, this is a terrifying policy to me, who still has children in school, and I will tell you why. This bill isn't just about not referring to law enforcement children who willfully disrupt a meeting. It is also a bill that no longer requires schools to notify law enforcement if a student attacks or assaults someone on campus or makes a threat on campus. No longer required to notify law enforcement.
You heard it right. That was a state senator in California addressing a bill that they are now considering because the state Senate has passed this bill already. Senate Bill 1273 by State Senator Stephen Bradford, Democrat of Los Angeles. It passed easily last Thursday, just 2 days after the Uvalde shooting, where 19 children and 2 kids were killed in an elementary school. And you heard the comments then from State Senator Melissa Melendez. She's a Democrat serving a part of California. She delivered her speech on the floor denouncing the bill and saying clearly what it leads to. You cannot call police to the campus. You should not call police to the campus if there's a disturbance, a threat, an assault upon a student or teacher. Now, assault is a pretty vague term. It may or may not involve a gun, but you're not even going to call the police. Why? Well, because wokeness is alive and well in California, you know. The bill repeals a provision of existing law. Here's what the existing law stated. It required that whenever any employee of a school district or county superintendent of schools is attacked, assaulted, or physically threatened by any pupil, the employee and any person under whose direction or supervision the employee is employed who has knowledge of the incident are required to promptly report the incident to specified law enforcement authorities. It sounds like they're all about protecting the principals, doesn't it? I don't hear kids in there. But this bill, as amended, deals with calling police for any reason, the cited reason. And this Senate Bill 1273 would make such reports as I read to law enforcement voluntary. The previous bill required that police be notified. That just seems that that should be the normal, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it, really? Are you going to let a student stand up in class and assault the teacher, throwing even books at them or a chair, and we're just going to kind of let it go? It's, you know, don't report to police. It'd be voluntary to report, but you're not required. Democrats are pushing in California, just as the Biden White House and Democrats all across the nation, especially in the wake of the Uvalde, for more gun control rather than increase law enforcement at schools. They're suggesting in California we don't need law enforcement at the schools, and we don't need to automatically call police. The ACLU praising the Bradford bill as promoting, and here's where we come to wokeness. You knew it had to be at the base of it. Sure enough, it is. Racial equity. The Senate Bill 1273, which you heard Senator Melendez speak against, is praised by the ACLU as promoting racial equity. Now, here's the way the ACLU states it. Once students make contact with law enforcement, they are less likely to graduate high school and more likely to wind up in jail or prison. That's her statement. Do they consider maybe the reverse would happen? That maybe the student, once they realize, oh my God, I'm in trouble, I got to be really careful going forward. Depends upon the student, the home environment, the entire environment. I mean, so many factors, you cannot boil it down to one. But the attitude is just acceptance. Because here's the next line, saying that they're less likely to graduate from high school if they have an encounter with a police officer at their school. And then it said, these harms fall disproportionately on students from marginalized groups, Black, Indigenous, and Latinx students. Note they don't refer to Asian students. Did you notice that? Blacks, Indigenous, I guess would be American Indian, and Latinx, which they don't like using that term. Most Latinos don't like to be called Latinx. But it says it falls on marginalized groups, Black, Indigenous, Latinx, as well as students with disabilities, are disproportionately referred to law enforcement, cited, and arrested. So proponents supporting the bill say it will protect students from unnecessary interactions with law enforcement. Senator Bradford was talking to the Daily Caller and explaining his bill, and his quote in the Daily Caller. Our existing system has led to alarming disparities in the type of students who are likely to suffer these harms. Black students, Latinx students, students of color. Well, maybe that's where the Asian fits in. ACLU didn't recognize them. Students of color and students with disabilities are disproportionately referred to law enforcement, cited, and arrested. Now, I don't know what they mean by students with disabilities. Are we talking about, and here's a term that many would say, you can't say that anymore, handicap, challenged, that seems to be the preferred, and then are we talking about mentally challenged, physically challenged, both? There's no distinction. But Senator Melendez pointed out, and I'm reading part of her statement that she also issued, not just what she said on the floor. She said, I cannot believe, and I second her, I cannot believe that just 2 days after the heartbreaking events in Texas, the state Senate would pass a measure making our children less safe at school, requiring teachers to report threats of violence in the classroom, might be the only warning law enforcement has to prevent a future violent attack. And she goes back to what happened at Parkland High School in Florida with that shooter, and she uses the name. I'm not going to bother using it, but she does, and says, look how they treated this kid with gloves, kid gloves, hands off. You might be bothering him. He might be. His name itself suggests a minority group in Florida, as if there are not many minorities all over the nation. But the way they handled that, she said, you're going to create another Parkland massacre here if this bill goes through. Listen.
I will remind you that in 2018 of the Stoneman Douglas shooting at the school in which 17 people were killed by a fellow student, Nicholas Cruz. Nicholas Cruz had behavioral issues since middle school. And according to the Washington Post, he was entrenched in the process for getting students help rather than referring them to law enforcement. He was transferred between schools 6 times in 3 years in an effort to deal with these problems. In 2014, he was transferred to a school for children with emotional or learning disabilities. The school decided they would use alternative means to deal with Nicholas Cruz's behavioral issues, and the end result was that he killed 17 people.
Should that not be a lesson? Of course it should be. That's what happened in Florida. While the state legislature of California is moving forward with this Senate bill I was telling you about, you know what Florida is doing? The Florida legislature sent a school safety bill, 1421, to Governor DeSantis' office today, or yesterday, designed to enhance school safety in the wake of another national tragedy. It would introduce a wave of developments, including establishing school safety officers, developing threat assessment teams, implementing certain emergency bills. And in those cases, the bill was filed in January, but not officially presented to the governor until Wednesday, May 25th, the day after the shooting at Robb Elementary in Uvalde. But it calls for, obviously, notifying police, which seems a smart thing to do. But if you listen to this bill out of California, what they're going to do is say, if you call police, that's voluntary. You don't have to. Well, in a closing statement from Melendez, in part she said, threats of violence deserve the attention of law enforcement. Parents should feel safe sending their kids to school. Eliminating the mandatory reporting requirement makes our schools more susceptible to repeat of what just happened in Texas. It's inappropriate. And she added these words.
This bill today, you are asking for a repeat of Stoneman Douglas across the state of California. And I will not sit back and say nothing because I have kids in school. And if you have kids in school, you better darn well pay attention to this.
Yep, you darn well better. And of course, as I mentioned with the Florida bill, they're also looking at ways to harden schools. I remind you again, and I'm not picking on Ukraine because Ukrainian citizens I feel for with this Soviet invasion, and I feel for the Soviets, the Russians who were sent in there, I should say, the Russians who got sent in there because they didn't want to go. They thought they were going to be on a training exercise. Putin put them into war. That's not what they wanted. Devastating cities, killing hundreds, and the Russian military has taken some heavy casualties. But we spent $40 billion. We sent an additional $40 billion to Ukraine. How much are we spending to fortify and make our schools safer? Biden's already saying, hey, if you want to tear down that Robb Elementary, we'll give you federal dollars to tear it down and build a new one. Well, thank you. What about fortifying? Now, there was a breach of security at this school. Apparently, a teacher went out and back door, propped it open to go get a phone or something from her car, came back, left the door propped open, and when the gunman shows up, he finds that door open, so he went in. So you've got to follow protocol. It's not going to work anyway. The White House is saying Joe Biden does not support proposals that would strengthen school security. He'd rather focus on gun control. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, that's what the White House is saying today, but I will tell you this. They'll probably walk it back. He's already upset with his staff. He's made it clear the other day he was getting upset, according to NBC News, that they're constantly walking back several of his statements, and he's angry. I guess he's trying to say what I say. And if I ask for specific vanilla ice cream and not chocolate, I mean that. Don't walk it back. We have a governor who has a concern about what's happening with gun laws.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, first of all, I think you've got to be able to talk about the AR-15 style weapons and whether that's an 18 or 21 age. You have to at least have a conversation about that. That's tough because the challenge with the gun safety discussion is what makes a difference. And whenever you look at what might make a difference, it's hard to come up with a solution. As a governor, America wants to see, in a bipartisan way, this kind of discussion going on, looking for solutions that make a difference. I hope to be able to mirror that as a governor and that we can have a bipartisan working group of governors also looking at this issue and how we can do better for our children.
Do better for our children. That should be the ultimate goal. Not political upstaging one party or the other, not standing so rigidly for one side or the other that you're not willing to entertain suggestions and ideas that maybe there's something here we can agree on without sacrificing Second Amendment in any way, and gun laws that are already in place are just not being followed sometimes. And without just simply slapping down a bunch of new rules and regs that, as he said, won't really make a difference. Now, the changing of the gun age on buying an AR-15 to 21, like it is for buying a handgun, that's probably going to be a route that might be more likely. Now, but I will tell you again, in many areas of Texas where I grew up, I know it still happens now, young kids are being taught by their parents the sport of shooting at a range and are for hunting, and they have various long guns, so they're only 14 or 15. So an age doesn't really mean anything other than you put an age down paper. And that's just to buy. It doesn't mean that the parent can't lend buy one for his child and let his child who's under age 18 use it anyway, even if it's an AR-15. We have a bipartisan group of senators that apparently are trying to reach a bipartisan deal. Now, they held a meeting yesterday virtually. They haven't come together exactly. The House committee is also eyeing a vote tomorrow for wide-ranging gun control legislation. The House is not bipartisan by any stretch of the imagination. It's controlled by Nancy Pelosi, and you got Dick Durbin immediately saying red gun laws are the one thing to do. We're going to do, and maybe we'll establish a tax credit for the sale of safe storage devices and criminal penalty for breaking new requirements on the storage of firearms on residential premises. The package is known as Protecting Our Kids Act. It's probably going to get through the Democrat-controlled House. Not going to overcome a Republican-led filibuster in the Senate. But Senator Cory Booker, a Democrat from New Jersey, said these changes might save some lives, but the Republicans would not agree to broader gun control measures that could stop, as he said, the daily carnage of gun violence. You do know he is right about daily carnage. All the focus is on Uvalde. My God, every day and night and week and month and year in Chicago, which has strict gun control laws, kids are murdered left and right. And by that, I mean at age 18 or under or just above that. Usually with handguns, maybe sometimes with semi-automatic other type weapons, or some they've converted to automatic if they can. The school shooting draws attention on gun control, but is it going to lead to answers that will be valuable and actually enhance safety, or attack our Constitution? My guest coming up is saying you're not going to really see compromise. What you're going to see is GOP members, Republicans, surrender. You want to hear how he explains that? John Daniel Davidson, coming up next.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, we're having trouble establishing John Daniel Davidson. We're going to continue calling, not getting an answer at this point. Sometimes there's a foul up on times between Central and Eastern Pacific. Who knows? But I'll give you a brief preview of his article in The Federalist. You can look it up yourself and read it in its entirety. John is the senior editor of The Federalist, and he wrote the title that was given it, There Is No Bipartisan Gun Compromise in the Works, Just GOP Capitulation. In other words, surrender. And in fact, his opening remark, the opening paragraph, Democrats and the corporate media like to call it a compromise when they get exactly what they want, and Republicans get nothing. To them, that's a compromise. He said, just witness a bipartisan talks underway in the wake of the school shooting in Uvalde on new gun control legislation. He said these talks reportedly involved four GOP senators led by Senator John Cornyn of Texas, focusing on two new gun control proposals. universal background checks and red flag laws. And he adds, whatever your opinion about the merits of these, Democrats have long wanted to make it harder for law-abiding Americans to purchase guns and easier for the government to take them away. Now, to that point, John is absolutely correct. We will continue calling and try and see if we get him briefly near the end here. This universal background check he deals with, he said it's isn't a policy so much as a slogan meant to convey a desire that bad guys not be allowed to buy guns. Well, of course, if you know someone's a felon, you shouldn't be selling them. A background check would red flag that to me. And I shouldn't use the term red flag because that's another issue. But immediately it would signal this is a convicted felon. He is not supposed to be in possession of a weapon. Sometimes, though, felons are legally buying them because the laws we already have on the books are not being properly followed. Do you need another law? Say, see the law above? And he talks about this national red flag law. 19 states already have some version of this. To help you understand what this is, it's, as he said, 19 states have it, and it's worse in some than others, and all of them are relatively new. That's a fact. New York, he said, has a red flag law, but it didn't stop the Buffalo shooter from obtaining the guns that he used to kill 10 at that grocery store last month. And he also passed a federal background check. So all the background checks and red flag laws and everything won't stop the person if that's their intent and will. Well, you say, then nobody should have a gun. That's what they're trying to do. So if you start taking a car and running over people, once either you have or do not have a driver's license, maybe you're not old enough to have one yet, you get in a car and do that, then what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? You can't deal with the mind of someone once they have an object in their hand. It could be a hammer, a hatchet. But this national red flag law, basically on a national level, would empower judges and police to confiscate guns from Americans who have not been charged with nor committed any crime at all. You heard me right. You're not charged with a crime, you haven't committed a crime. And then a person judged guilty of pre-crime under a red flag law cannot appeal the decision until after his or her guns have been confiscated. So you don't like Larry Connors. You don't like what he has to say on the radio. You don't like his program. You think he needs to be fired, taken off, program shut down. Okay, do your best at it. We've been on the air since 2014, I think, or 13. My position has never changed because I don't play favors, not even when Trump was in office. I call balls and strikes. But the problem here is that you just say, you know, I don't like him. He just said on the air he's got 4 or 5 guns. I think I'm going to call the police and say, I'm reporting under the red flag government, national government law, that Larry Connors is a threat. It's that easy. It's that easy. Police would come to me or my house and say, we're taking all of your guns. Give them all to us. And my failure to give them all the guns when they say turn them over to us, then I'm breaking a law for sure. Now, we'll be convicted of that. Even if the complaint turns out to be simply someone didn't like me. Your neighbor doesn't like the fact that when you cut your grass, some of the clippings go into their yard. And they know you have guns. They know you like to shoot. So they call police and say, this person's a little weird over here. I think I should report them under national gun law, red flag laws. You need to come take their guns away from them. You see how simple that would go down? We have, as I said, several Republicans that are in quote, talks about this, but all of these, if they move forward on them, is not necessarily going to be good when it comes to the Second Amendment, much less good for America, and it's not necessarily going to stop school shootings. That's another article I wanted to get into with John, and apparently we're not going to be able to establish time with him. I don't know how it worked out. I'll have a little discussion with his booking agent. I used to go direct to John. It was easier, and we had an understanding, but I don't know what happened this time. But he wrote a piece May 27th. This is after the Uvalde shooting. And here's something else that has maybe more value to it. In fact, I truly believe it has more value than more gun control laws, and actually more value than locking down schools tighter. He says that by the title, school shootings aren't caused by faulty gun laws, but by the collapse of the family. Amen, amen, and amen. The governor, Abbott, when he was holding his news conference about after the Uvalde shooting, 19 school elementary school kids killed, two teachers, by obviously a deeply disturbed 18-year-old. And yes, at 18, some are saying he shouldn't have been able to buy an AR-15. But the governor even noted 18-year-olds have been able to buy rifles in Texas for more than 60 years. I can testify that's a fact. Or shotguns. And then asked, why is it that the majority of those 60 years, we did not have any school shootings, what do you do now? But he stopped short saying, the reality is, I do not know the answer to that question. John Daniel Davidson wrote, maybe Abbott really doesn't know. Maybe it's too much to expect an unimaginative politician like him to delve into the myriad forces of social and cultural decay that produce 18-year-old mass murders. Or maybe it's just trying to deflect questions from a hostile press corps. He said, but whether he meant it to or not, his comments approach the heart of the matter. Texas has had these guns available to kids for 60 years, actually for firearms of some type, for two centuries. And why are we seeing the mass shootings we're seeing now that we didn't see earlier? Not just in Texas, but elsewhere. This kid had been living with his grandmother, who called the cops after he shot her in the face and left her for dead. He was living there because he had no father figure. It was a broken home, no church, no community, no connections except those through social media. Pretty much the same profile that we saw in Parkland, Sandy Hook, and others. The bottom line is that cases like this involve the fact that we do not have even a tight-knit community as Uvalde appears to be now. Kids are being ignored. They're off doing their own little social media, headphones on, not paying attention to the real world. And they copy what they see on their screen. Coming up, COVID-19 again.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Should have heard it locked out, jailbreak. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. So here we go again. Here we go again. My boots on the ground in Chicago notified me. He said, well, let me see. What exactly did he say in his letter? Let me go back to his question. Well, when Andrew writes, I can't get to all of them. He's got some more things that have come up. I haven't. Let me share this real quick. He just sent this to me. Info from Wyoming. People have said are coming together. Simple message. The more we can do to end gun violence. People working hard to avert the next Uvalde, so forth. June 3rd is Wear Orange Day, kicking off National Gun Violence Awareness. Please support wearing orange and learn more about what you can do. Okay. I don't know, again, how that's going to change anything, but let's just say that's going to happen if it makes people maybe aware. And it used to be that if you saw something, you report it. Remember to 9/11, see something, report it. Anything suspicious? Now kids are seeing it online. They're not really doing anything about it. But the question he had sent me earlier is, how does someone get a nickname like Dr. Fake? Which then he led me to this article I had overlooked, I had not seen. I go through stacks and stacks of material. I can't see all of them, so Andrew's a good source for backing me up. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will be testing for the coronavirus in five major cities, who show up at clinics for those people who show up with flu-like symptoms but test negative for seasonal varieties. If that testing shows a virus has slipped into the country in places feds don't know about, here he comes, stand by, here he comes, da-da-da, Dr. Fake. He told the USA Today editorial board, if that's happened, we've got a problem. But he said, don't worry about catching anything at this time from Chinese products. Don't avoid Chinese people at restaurants. You can skip wearing masks unless you're contagious. That's what Dr. Fake said. Skip the mask. There's still people going around in masks. I don't mock them, nor should you. They may have their own reason for their own health. They might be immunocompromised, or they are at home or have someone who is, so they're just taking extra precaution when in public. But he goes through all of this, and he said these are all COVID is airborne, human-to-human, inanimate things like a container in China sent to the U.S. wouldn't carry any risk of COVID being passed along. But then, as you can always expect, this is going right down the line of the Biden, Alejandro Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security, disinformation board, and we will tell you what the truth is. The bottom line, they said, scam solutions are a real concern. There could be fake remedies for coronavirus that have surfaced from scam artists who capitalize on your fears. You mean like Dr. Fake capitalizing on your fear that you have to wear a mask even after you've been, quote, vaccinated, when he said you wouldn't have to? Or are you talking about ivermectin that you couldn't even discuss it on Facebook or big net or tech pages without them banning you or putting up warnings? It could be that, but it could be, I have no doubt there are probably some people out there. There are always people out there trying to gamble to get something out of you. I got a thing in the mail yesterday saying we've had a security alert. Some of our information has been collected. Well, here's how we can help you check on your credit score and everything else and do all this. Here's who you refer to. If you suspect any kind of scam, notify police, and then we will help you if you it was down near the bottom after you spent all your time going through that. I don't even remember doing business with these people, but I went ahead and read it, and at the bottom it said, and we will be glad to help you. Just call us and send us or email us whatever your name, your exact address, your date of birth, your Social Security number, and right then, whoa, never give out your Social Security number or credit card numbers unless you initiated the call to someone you trust, not something you got in the mail. Especially when they're saying we're reporting and there may be a scam, and you might be the next target. All right, so in the next segment, we'll get in again into more of the supposed gun compromises or not, red flag laws again, and then the question about our inflation and how bad it is. And Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, says, I didn't know I was wrong. I barely got through third grade math, and you're a smart person, supposedly some high institution, and you didn't see this coming? Everybody I know saw it coming. Inflation. And then we'll talk about Top Gun and China and its response to the Top Gun movie. And what the Marines are doing, that pisses me off. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.